Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so very much for this opportunity to stand before your folks at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, some of who are members here, some of who are just visiting here, some of who you just brought in today. They don't even know why they're here, Lord, but you brought them in. And I'm just thanking you for that. And I'm just asking, Lord, that you'll bless this message today, that you'll bless each and every life that is here. Lord, we've got so many different issues on so many different levels, but you're the God, you're an omnipotent God, you're an omniscient God, you're an omnipresent God. You know what we need, you know how to fix it, and you know when we need it. And so I'm just asking that, Lord, that with all that's within me and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that all men might be drawn unto thee. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Okay, today, good to see everybody. It's so good to be here. I'm looking at our youth usher, looking at the adult. How you doing, man? Looking at the adults. This is just a wonderful thing, y'all. God has brought Good Shepherd from a mighty long way. And don't ever take that for granted, because it's God placing it on folks' heart to do the work of the ministry. And it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to just keep going and keep doing what God has called you to do. When we think about faith, today we're going to talk about faith, but when you think about faith, you think about the things that the Bible tells you that without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we call it that great hall of faith. You read in Hebrews chapter 11, you read about the many victories won for the kingdom of God by faith. Today, we're going to be talking about a faceless, nameless, certain woman whose faith has been recorded for all history as an example for all of us to see and to take note. Because whenever you see something in Scripture where it says a certain someone, you could just put your own name in there, because that someone could be you. God could be marking down somewhere for somebody else to read 50, 60 years from now about what you, that certain someone, did in the impact of somebody's life. I had a man who came to me one day. I was working in the factory in Ohio, and the man came to me, and I'd never seen the man before, and I have never seen him since that day. Certain man just came to me, and he picked me up, and he slammed me up against the locker, and he said, "I've been watching you. You need to get out of here. You can do better. You got other things you need to be doing. You need to get out of here." Now, y'all got to understand, when I was working in the factory in Ohio, that was the absolute dream job. I was 18 years old, making $6.25 an hour in 1970. You do good to make that kind of money now, with every benefit known to mankind. I could hiccup and go to the doctor. And this man standing here telling me, "You need to get out." And I wasn't even really walking with the Lord, but I knew that was a pivotal moment in my life. And as it turned out, I left, got in trouble with my dad, got in trouble with the guy who got me the job. But you know what? The factory shut down within 5 years. I was planning my life on it. God put that man in my path. A certain somebody. Today, God's putting a certain woman in your path. And he's going to talk about her faith. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, and we'll be reading from verses 21 through 28. The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. I'll be reading from the King James Bible. You can also find this same text, very similar text, in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. But we will be in Matthew. And it reads, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and doers and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we'll be talking about the prevailing power of persevering faith. The prevailing power of persevering faith. When you talk about something that's going to persevere, someone who's going to persevere. See, that's one of the biggest problems in the church today. We have so little perseverance, so little stick to it. Webster says about persevering, persevering is to persist in pursuing something in spite of obstacles and opposition. You hear that? He says to persist in pursuing something in spite of obstacles or opposition. All too often in the church today, when opposition comes into our family, when opposition comes on our job, when opposition comes in our life in any way, shape, or form, we just fold up. We just go to pieces. I just can't do it. But today we're going to talk about this woman who, in the face of great obstacles, great opposition, she persevered. That can be and should be you. That can be and should be me. We got the power of the Holy Spirit in us. When the Bible says, and it does say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me, that means all things. Every good work that God has called you to do, every good work that God has called me to do, he will equip you to do it. But we have to learn how to stand. We have to persevere. When we look at this passage, I'll just refer to the book of Mark's version just a couple times. And first thing I'll show you about in the book of Mark and his version is where he says that Jesus went off to this area of Sidon and Tyre. And it says in verse 24, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And what it says is that Jesus had been ministering to all the crowds and everybody. And now he's looking for a place to rest because he wants to take a break. And so he goes off to this secluded area in the region of Tyre. And it says in verse 21, so that no man could know it. So that no man could find him. And then it says, but he could not be hid. How's Jesus going to hide? Where is Jesus going to go that nobody knows Jesus? The Bible says, do you take a light and put it under a bushel basket? Do you think if you take a light, a candle, and put it under a bushel basket, nobody will see it? Saints, talking to you. Should you be able to go anywhere and not be known as a Christian? Should not our light shine so much that wherever we go, we cannot be an incognito Christian?
Jesus couldn't possibly hide where nobody would know where he was at. You and I, something is in us. Sister Lovey was just singing, whatever it is, it's that Holy Ghost. And he can't be hid. And some of us try as we may to fit in with this world. But you know what? At a certain point, even your friends in the world tell you, you don't belong here. You ain't, come on, man, stop. You think you a thug. Get out of here. Get on out of here. My niece, let's talk about my nephew. And my nephew's a wonderful young man. He's down in school right now. But when he was younger, he was trying to fit in with his thuggish buddies and everything. And his mother, she would just tell him, because she, well, I don't know if she'll ever hear this sermon, but she kind of leaned toward the thuggish. But she looked at her son. She said, that ain't you. She said, that ain't you. And she said, every time you go try to fit in with those folks, Lord gonna let me know. Because she had been there, done that, had the T-shirt. She said, you don't fit in. None of us can be called incognito, or should be able to be called incognito Christians. Wherever you're at, let that light shine. The Bible says Jesus went there to get away from the folks, but the Bible says in the book of Mark, he says that this woman heard about Jesus. Now, Jesus only went to the Jewish community, y'all. He said he was sent to the Jewish community. That was his primary focus. When he went off to this region of Tyre and Sidon, this was off close to the border of Jerusalem, border of Israel's land. But this lady was a Gentile. Jesus did not come to preach to the Gentiles. By the way, that's us. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. I don't care whatever your descent is. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And this is a Gentile lady. And the Bible says that she heard about Jesus. And after she heard about Jesus, she came running. She came running. Now, we don't know exactly how she heard about Jesus, but I did a little research, and I want you to get some background about this region of Sire and Tidon, because they are mentioned several times in Scripture. But if you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 21 and 22, in the book of Ezekiel, God had he had told the prophet to pronounce judgment on the land of Sidon and Tyre. This region where this lady is at, this region where Christ is going to kind of hide out a little bit, this lady is from this region. And when we see in Ezekiel 28, verses 21 through 22, here's what God had the prophet Ezekiel pronounce judgment against Sire and Tidon. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, that started with verse 20, I'm sorry. Son of man, set thy face against Sidon and prophesy against it and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee. I am against thee, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall have executed judgment in her and shall be sanctified in her. He said, they will know. He said, the people of this region, even though the Jews had not come to this area to preach, but Ezekiel had prophesied doom on them, he said, they're going to know that I am the Lord. Now, I got to give you a little bit of background on here, because Tyre and Sidon, in prophetic history, they had a serious curse pronounced upon them. Because God said to the people of Tyre and Sidon, like neighbors, like Dallas-Fort Worth area. God has said to the city of Tyre, he has said to them, he said, when my people were down, when my people were coming out through the wilderness, coming out of Egypt, and they were down and out, you came after my people. And when you came after my people, because you said, aha, they're weak, so I can take them real easy. And God said, for that, you're going to pay. And so God pronounced a judgment on Tyre. He said, Tyre, there's going to come a day when your whole city will just be obliterated, be wiped off the map. And then he said, then many nations are going to come and finish you off. I want y'all to understand, and you can write down these scriptures in Ezekiel 22, but we're not going to read there, but I'm just telling you where it's at. God said to Tyre, he says, you're going to be wiped out because of how you treated my people. First, Nebuchadnezzar came. Nebuchadnezzar came, wiped them out. So they didn't tear down their old city. What Tyre did was they moved to an island off the coast of their city. And now they had a half-mile moat between them and the rest of the world. They came back to life. They did pretty good for 240 years. But the prophecy has said, God has said to Tyre, you're going to be wiped off the map. Sidon, you're going to be just beat down forever, but you're going to survive. Tyre, he said, you're going to be wiped off the map. Tyre didn't get wiped off the map by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took them down, but not out. They went out on the island, and they still prospered for another 240 years. Then Alexander the Great came. Y'all heard of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great came, and he asked the people in the city of Tyre, he said, can I come and worship with y'all? Wink, wink, nod, nod. And they understood that if he came to worship, he was soon going to master. So they told him, no, we'd rather fight you than just turn over our city to you. So here Alexander the Great comes, and he pulls up, and here's this half-mile moat in between him and the city of Tyre. Remember what the prophecy said. God said that he said that you're going to be scraped bare down to the ground, and your timber and your wood is going to be dumped into the river. 240 years later, Alexander don't know nothing about this, y'all. Alexander, being the great general that he is, Alexander, he looks at that half-mile moat, and he said, I tell you what we're going to do. We got a ruined city over here. Tear it all down, scrape up all the dirt, build me a bridge. And Alexander built him a bridge out of the ruins of the old city of Tyre, and he went in, and he leveled, never to be resurrected again, the city of Tyre. Now, the adjoining prophecy was that Sidon would be overran and overran and overran, but still survive. In Ezekiel, what we just now read in Ezekiel 28 and 21, 22, God says, because of what they did and because of the affliction that I put on them, they will say, Lord, when they hear your name. The Bible says she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And then out of nowhere, this lady comes. That's how the text sets it up. It says this lady came from out of nowhere, and she dropped down. It says in verse 22, I'm in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. That's what's important about this text. No heathen would know that Jesus is the son of David. That's a Jewish terminology. But because of what God had put Tyre and Sidon through, when she heard that Jesus was nearby, she said, oh, Lord God, son of David, I need you because I know I've been through some stuff, and I know that you are the king of the Jews. And she says, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The lady came to him. She didn't bring her daughter. She didn't come with any pomp, any ceremony. This was just a certain woman. I used to hear my mother and all the older women and the older men, especially the older women, because I think your sons just really do this to y'all. I'd always hear my mama say, have mercy. Lord, just have mercy. And you always wonder why she... Well, you know, and as you get a little bit older, you appreciate and you start understanding that very simple prayer. Lord, have mercy. Just have mercy on me. And she said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Her daughter was demon possessed, y'all. Now, I'm going to say something here. And I want y'all to really be thoughtful and be really prayerful and hear what I'm saying. This woman came to Jesus because her daughter was in bad shape. Her daughter had gotten to the point to where she couldn't do anything with her. She was demon possessed. Listen to me. All too often in 2014, we're way too quick to declare a medical solution to a behavioral problem. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? Bad behavior is not a medical condition. Hear me well. Please, why don't you do what this certain woman did? Before you'd go to the doctor. And I'm not against doctors. Luke was a physician. God gave us doctors, and he gave us doctors with wisdom. But I read the articles. Even the doctors don't know what the psychotic stuff they're giving to your kids is going to do long term. They don't know. They don't know. And childhood is not a disease. Being foolish and having foolishness bound up inside of you is not a disease. Please, please be careful. Please be prayerful. Maybe instead of medicine, maybe we need to take them to the maker. And I didn't say send them to the maker. I said you take them to the maker. She came to intercede on her daughter's behalf. I'm wanting Good Shepherd to get to the point to where we can have joy because somebody else made it over. Can we rejoice when somebody else gets that big check? When somebody other than you gets that big job? Can you rejoice for them? Can you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for them? Instead of saying, why'd they get that and not me? Can we do that? Can we get to that, Good Shepherd? Can we get to the point to where we actually pray for the success of somebody else? I want somebody else, Lord, to do well. I want to rejoice. The Bible says that when one of us gets saved, angels rejoice. Angels shout and sing, and oh, thank you, Jesus. Can't we do that for a brother or a sister when they get a job, when they get a promotion, when something goes well in their life, and it's not just you, not just me, my four and no more? Can't we rejoice for one another? Money is good. Health is good. But can we still thank God in the midst of our afflictions? Think about this. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119:71. Psalm 119:71. Psalm 119:71. Y'all wrap your mind around this for a minute. The psalmist says, I mean, in the midst of all the health and wealth and yada, 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 yada preaching, and God does give us health and God does give us wealth. I'm not naysaying that at all. But in the midst of all that, look at this passage. It said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. The psalmist says, you know what? Maybe every day shouldn't be sunshine, lollipops, rainbows every day. Because after a while, you start thinking, that's where I'm supposed to be. Sometimes God puts us in the crucibles of life. And the psalmist said, he didn't say, oh, woe is me, oh, Lord Jesus. The psalmist said, you know what? Every now and again, it's a good thing for me to be afflicted so that I can raise my voice to Jesus, so I can bend my knees to the Lord. He says, it's good for us to be afflicted sometimes. And then again, in John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, we have an account of where the people were saying, why was this man born blind? Why was he born blind? Who sinned? See, because we want to attribute something happening to folks. We want to attribute their bad behavior or whatever. We want to know who sinned, who done it. And Christ said, nobody sinned. Christ said, this was done so that God might be glorified. Wait a minute. God allowed a child to be born blind so that he might be glorified? This takes some persevering faith, y'all. Did you ever stop to think? Did you ever stop to think? When this woman is coming to Christ because her daughter is so vexed with the demon, she's crying out to Christ because she's got no hope with anybody else. Did you ever stop to think that maybe God used that to get her? You ever stop to think that maybe some of the reasons that some of us got children that are so wayward, so far out, husbands crazy, wives crazy? Have you ever stopped to think that maybe God brought that situation to bear so that he could get you? You're thinking, oh, it's my child. Oh, it's my husband. Oh, it's my wife. You never say, oh, it's me. Look at what Jesus said. Why is this man born blind? So that he might be glorified. So that he could use him to draw them to him. Let's not flunk the test. Let's not flunk the test. When God is testing your faith, let's not flunk the test. Let's persevere. Let's pray more. Let's thank him more. And let us go to that psalmist where he says, it's good. See, because when the Apostle Paul was in jail and he was getting ready to be executed, Paul could not get out of jail, y'all. Paul could not get out of jail. But Paul said, and I say this to folks at Good Shepherd, I have to say this to myself, if you can't change your situation, change your mind about how you look at your situation. Paul said, Paul's sitting in jail, they're getting ready to execute him. And Paul said, you know what? He said, I think myself happy. Try that next time you're in the middle of a trial. The next time all hell done broke loose in your house. I think myself happy. And I ain't gonna let nobody take my joy because I think myself happy. And you can't do a daggum thing about it because I'm happy. Make somebody miserable. Just be happy. They be trying to find the source of your joy. I'm just happy. I got the Holy Ghost happiness in me. And ain't nothing you can do to stop it. It says this woman came to Christ. She came to him. And she's begging him about her daughter. And she said, my daughter is afflicted with this demon. And then it's so curious what Jesus says to her in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 15. You know what Jesus says to her in verse 23? He doesn't say nothing to her. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sitting here. My life is falling apart. Everything is caving in around me. My whole life is caving in around me. I go to the Lord. And I cry out to him. I said, Lord, please, I got a situation. Please, Jesus, have mercy on me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I know you've been there. I know you've been there. Have mercy on me. And you say, what's that you say, Jesus? Nothing. He didn't answer. He didn't answer her at all. I have on good authority that prayers delayed are not necessarily prayers denied. I have that on good authority, y'all. So you just persevere. You keep praying. If you're his child, if you trust him, he's going to give you an answer. He's going to give you an answer. But look here. He didn't say anything to her because he had to let her sort out some things. She had to sort out some things. In verse 23, it says, "But he answered her not, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" Now, here's all these wonderful, compassionate disciples. Say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus!" First, she's crying out to him, now they're crying, "Jesus! Jesus, will you do something with this woman?" I was thinking about this last night, and I said, in my sanctified imagination, I could imagine the conversation of the disciples with Christ. Here's this woman. First, she's crying out to Jesus, "Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy." And then she's following the disciples around, "Have mercy, have mercy, have, help me, somebody help me." I mean, she's beside herself. She said, "Help me, I need some help." And they're saying, this woman's crying after us. And I imagine that their conversation sort of went like this: "Jesus, how in the devil we going to get this woman out of here? She got this devil. She's talking about the devil. How in the devil we going to get her out of here? She didn't even bring the girl here. How are we going to do something like that? She didn't even bring the child here." So they go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, handle it. Would you please handle it?" And Jesus answered them, "I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel." God's method has always been to the Jew first, y'all. But not to the Jew only, but to the Jew first. And Jesus says, "I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel." And then you see a twist here in verse 25. First, you come to Jesus. And there's a time frame that goes on in here because you keep seeing that word, "and then she came, and then she came." So there's a period of time, there's some transaction of time going on here. And so she had come to Jesus first, and then she followed the disciples. And I look at that, when I look at that where it says she followed the disciple, I think about there's many people in this world who name the name of Christ, but they worship all kinds of things plus Christ. Okay. There's people who worship angels. Okay. It's not in the Bible, y'all. It's not in the Bible. And they go on and on and on about their guardian angel as though their guardian angel sent himself to them. No, God is in charge of all that, y'all. And they worship the angels. You got whole denominations that bow down to saints. St. Peter, St. Paul, Mary. You got people who bow down to sacred items. Oh, do you know this was a... This was a piece of the slither of wood out of the cross. It's down there in the Vatican. You can find it. And they bow down to that thing. Here's a lesson from verse 23 and 24. After she went to them and they couldn't do nothing for her, y'all, I'm telling you, angels can't do nothing for you. Dead saints can't do nothing for you. Those religious icons you have, even that beautiful cross that you wear around your neck, can't do nothing for you. Look at what old sister girl did here, what this certain woman did. She figured out it wasn't them, it's him. I want y'all to get that, church. I want y'all to understand that. It's not them, it's not that stuff, it's not those people. It's not them, it's him. Because look what she did next. First she came to him, and now she worships him. She drops down on her knees, and she starts begging him. She skip all these folks. Skip this stuff over here. This is nothing. I need to go to the master. I need to go to the maker. And so she goes right to Jesus. She drops down to her knees, and she starts worshiping him, and she's going right back to that perseverance. Y'all done turned me down once. You didn't answer me. You sent me over here to the disciples and they couldn't answer me. I'm gonna keep going until I get my situation addressed. And that just makes good sense, because what's your other option? Just suffer. God said, come to me. All you who are heavy laden, come to me. And she's coming right to him. And here's a twist also in verse 25. She no longer refers to him as, O Lord, Son of David. That means she originally called him, O Lord, King of the Jews. She changed her tone. Now she's saying, O Lord, he ain't their God. He my God. See, some of y'all and some of us, we know Jesus theoretically. I read about him somewhere. Theoretically. At some point in time, you got to come to the man. At some point in time, you got to take it upon yourself to humble yourself and come to the man, Christ Jesus. You may be big, you may be strong, you may think yourself to be bad, but the Bible says one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess the Lord God. Why don't you come to him now? Why don't you come to him while the blood's still running in your veins? Why don't you come to him while he can still get some use out of your youth, the energy that you have? Why don't you just come on to him? He says, whosoever will. He says, all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Oh, man. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Here's a Gentile woman, a certain woman, a nameless, a faceless woman, and she comes to Jesus, and she just keeps on crying. She just keeps on persevering. She's worse than the Energizer Bunny. She just keep on going. Saints of God, at some point in time, we got to get that kind of resolve in us. When it comes to the things of God and the Word of God, you just got to keep on going. You just got to keep on going. You're tired of getting up, going to church. Get up and go to church. You're tired of going to Wednesday night. Get up and go to Wednesday night. You're tired of praying for your family. Get up and pray. I don't want to sing no more songs of Zion. Get up there and sing. You just got to keep moving. Sometimes you just can't do but put one foot in front of the other foot. You just got to keep moving, and God will give you the strength to keep going. If you just persevere and trust him. So she came and she worshiped him. No longer as the Messiah of Israel, but as my God. My God. See, because when you know him as my God, then when you go to tell other people about him, you don't have to say, well, I heard about this Jesus. You can say, my Jesus. I'm going to tell you about the Jesus that I know. And the Jesus that has brought me through. Verses 26 and 27. Says, but Jesus answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus is giving you a metaphor here. A metaphor is something where you're using objects to kind of explain what something is. A metaphor would be something like, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. Well, we don't really live in a dog-eat-dog world, but you know what I'm talking about. Another metaphor is we're all in the same boat. Well, we're not all in the same boat, but you know what I'm talking about. So Jesus is saying here to this woman, he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. He's speaking to this Gentile lady, and he's saying, what you're asking me to do is take this holy message that is designed for the Jewish people and to give it to you, a Gentile. Now, the Jews did refer to the Gentiles as dogs, not wild scavenging dogs, but dogs like what you have pets. That's the word that was used. It's like a pet dog that would sit under the table, and as the crumbs would fall from the table, the dogs would get their food. Now, I know y'all don't know nothing about that now, because we go down, I watch the TV commercials. We're no longer dog owners. We're pet parents. Oh, my God. Lord have mercy on me. The commercial said, you're a pet parent. You ain't gave birth to no dog. You ain't gave birth to no cat. It's your dog. It's not. This is your child. This is your dog. This one gets sick, you take him to the hospital. This one gets sick, you take him on the big ride. No, just kidding, just kidding. Okay, I saw. Bad preacher. But y'all, they're dogs and they're cats, okay? Now here's, look at what this woman does. Now Jesus puts this metaphor on her, and he's using this well-known earthly thing to explain some heavenly concepts to this woman. And he tells her, he says, it's just out of order for me to take all this good blessings that I have for the Jewish world and to give it to Gentiles, to give it to the dogs. And look at what this woman says. Look at what this faceless, nameless, certain woman says. She caught everything he was saying. She understood exactly what he was saying. So she comes back to the Savior, piggybacking on his metaphor. And she said, in verse 27, chapter 15, verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Ooh-wee. She said, she came into agreement with him. See, when you come to Jesus, this is something you got to do. You got to humble yourself. You don't come up to Jesus all big and bad and bowdy, bowdy, bowdy. She said, you know what, Lord? I am a dog. Doesn't the Bible say we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Yeah, Lord, when you say I'm a no good, low life sinner, amen to that. I'm in agreement with you. She said, I'm in agreement with you. She said, but you know what? Lord. Now, in these passages, in these few verses, she refers to him as Lord three times. She said, but you know what? Lord. Meaning, I'm acknowledging, no matter what the situation, I'm acknowledging that you have the power to change everything there is. You are the creator of all the heavens and the earth. And Lord, I agree with you. But you know what? Even the dogs get the crumbs and survive. The Jews have been given all the earthly blessings that they've been promised the land. You got churches trying to tell Christians, oh, you're going to get the land. You're going to get all the wealth of Abraham. And that's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's promised to the Jews. But to the Gentiles, to those of us who name the name of Jesus, he says to us, I'm going to give you the crumbs. And if the crumbs is, you got all the blessings of heaven. Oh, man, I'm going to heaven. And that's the crumbs. I don't know what else to do. I'm getting to heaven. She said, if you just give me heaven and fix my baby, I'm cool. I just want the crumbs, God. I just wanted to make it to heaven. I didn't have any dreams of being able to see Jesus face to face. I just want to not go to hell. I just want to make it to heaven. She said, she acknowledged his power. She came into agreement with him as to her situation. So many of us think so highly of ourselves. We keep saying, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? And the Bible says, why not you? And he says, while you're in this situation, learn how to pray. While you're in the afflicted situation, learn how to pray. Learn how to trust God. Learn how to persevere. Learn how to keep moving forward in your Christian walk. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. Because though Jesus might not answer your question or your situation right now, that doesn't mean he has denied your situation. Could be he's just waiting to see how much you're going to persevere. Jesus says in verse 28, Then Jesus answered her after she replied to his metaphor. It says in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said to her, Oh, woman, great is thy faith. I want that for everybody at Good Shepherd and beyond. I want that for everybody who names the name of Christ. Don't you want that for yourself? Don't you want that at some point in time, while you're here, while you got breath, because I'm looking forward to him saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm looking forward to that day. But what about now? Well, I got breath. Well, I can let these feet go where I want them to go, where I can let this mouth say what I want it to say, where I can let these ears hear what I want them to hear. What about now? Can Jesus look at you now? Can he look at me now? And can he say, oh, brother, oh, sister, because I told you, it's just a certain woman. Ain't got no name, ain't got no face. Oh, brother so-and-so. Oh, sister so-and-so. Great. Great is your faith. What a word, y'all. What a word. That God would consider any of us, nameless, faceless, certain person. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. He says, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. A good translation for that is, he says, it's as you desired. I have made it. The same word that he used in the creation when he made something out of nothing. He said, I have made it well with your daughter. He says, oh, woman, great is your faith. And I have, as you desired. What doesn't the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And he might. See, y'all read the wrong Bible. He said he will give you the desires of your heart. But there's a caveat. There is a demand. He says, delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and he will. He said, if you will, I will. He says, come to him, worship him, and come into agreement with him. And I like this account because it's got such a happy ending. It's got such a happy ending. Don't forget, y'all, Christ has never seen her daughter. Her daughter's at home. This woman came to intercede for her daughter with Jesus. She came on behalf of her daughter. I'm asking saints, intercede. Come in on behalf of somebody. Good to pray for yourself. Really good to pray for somebody else. Here's the happy ending. He says, your daughter was made whole from that very hour. Look at what happened. The lady, how do I know that she got her request answered? She went home. Amen. That's a happy ending. How do I know? She didn't keep crying. With the disciples, she kept crying. With Jesus, when she first met, she kept crying because she didn't think anything had happened. But when Jesus said, it's a done deal, she went home. And the account in Mark says to us all, says that not only did she go home, but when she went home, she found her daughter resting. Resting, a child grievously vexed with the spirit, a child that who was driving mama crazy, a child who drove mama to Jesus, laying there in bed, resting, because the master had spoken a word and the mother had believed God for that blessing and had believed God for that miraculous situation. You come to him, you worship him, and you come into agreement with him. The Bible says that when he went to Golgotha's cross, when he hung, bled, and he died, paying for all of your sins, paying for all of my sins, he said, you come to me. He said, you call on the name of the Lord. You believe that I came, I died, and I rose from the dead. and for your sins. He says, when you do that, he says, when you do that, and if you'll do that, listen, here's another happy ending. Another happy ending. He said, when you believe on the name of Christ, it is finished. Woo! That's a happy ending, y'all. My sins have been washed away. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a witness for Christ. I want to tell somebody about Jesus because it is finished. I'm not laboring anymore to get into heaven. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm such a nice person. I'm leaning on Jesus Christ because it is finished. He's saying to any of you who don't know that, if you've never called on the name of Jesus Christ, if you've never humbled yourself and come into agreement with God, he says, first thing you do is acknowledge that you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're lost and on your way to hell. He says, but if you come on to me, I want you to know I've already paid the price. And it is finished. Come to him, worship him, come into agreement with him, and you shall be blessed. God bless you.